This podcast replay is brought to you by Vape and Smoke Shop in West Pines. Mention the Big O Show. Get 10 to 20% off the entire store. Call them 954-613-3367 or visit on social media at VSS West Pines.
My man Franco Panizo, of course, from Miami Total Football. And you can follow him on Twitter at Franco Panizo. You can also follow the podcast, Miami Total Football. If you want to find out about your Inter Miami squad, he is always talking a little Inter. And tomorrow night, they will host the New York Red Bulls at Inter Miami CF Stadium. And let's hope the boys can pick up a big victory. Let's bring them aboard. Franco, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Staying busy with all these games coming quick and fast, but I probably don't have too much room to complain or to make much noise, because I know you guys have Inter Miami. I know you guys have Miami Heat in the middle of their deep playoff run. Then you got the Miami Dolphins starting their season. So I know you guys are definitely staying busy, probably way busier than me. So I don't have much room. It's good, though. It's refreshing after those 4 or 5 months of downtime that we had. So definitely been good to stay busier now.
Yeah, not only that, dude. It's the other thing is that we see the growth right now, and you look at the first two games, then we had the COVID stuff, and then we come back after the COVID stuff. You go to the tournament, and it's 3-and-out, so you're 0-5. You're playing terrible. You measure that to the last 7 games now. And it's a completely different team now. They're having a lot more success. There's probably a lot more confidence right now on the pitch.
Yeah, there's definitely been gradual improvements. It hasn't been, obviously, major improvements overnight. It's taken game by game. And you saw in this last match, one thing that's definitely worth pointing out was obviously the attack played much better, probably the best 45 minutes that they've had in that first half against Atlanta United. But it was more because of the collective that the attack was able to show so well. Yes, they got 2 early goals, and that helped kind of open up Atlanta, because Atlanta had to come out and play a little bit more than they probably maybe wanted to in those opening minutes. But the collective, you saw everybody get involved in that first half, whether it was, Juan Aguilar and Brett Shea scoring goals, or Rodolfo Pizarro looking for combination play, or Lewis Morgan getting down the wing, Nicolas Figal getting down the wing, Ben Sweat getting down the left side and trying to find some crosses. Blaise Matuidi and Victor Ulloa also getting involved and getting further up the field to try to either take shots or make passes. So it was an overall collective display in the attack, and that's what led to the best half of attacking soccer into Miami. They finished with 10 shots and 4 on target, far and away, just statistically, if you just want to look numbers-wise, their best half of attacking and playing soccer. Obviously, the second half, they had to defend a little more, kind of lost their stranglehold on the game, but they closed it out. They were able to defend very well as a group, as a team. It was the most complete performance they've had. Obviously, there's some things they want to address and fine-tune going forward, especially since they won't be playing Atlanta United in these next 2 games. Obviously, Atlanta United's a team in transition with an interim head coach, and they didn't have any of their difference makers on the field in this last game, but you can only play who you have in front of you, and Inter Miami did a great job of that over the weekend.
Hey, isn't the team tomorrow looking for a coach too?
Yeah. The New York Red Bulls are also a team in transition, a team that I covered very closely during my time in the Northeast. They've normally been a top of the East team, and they've always been a contender out in the East, at least over the last decade. But yeah, I mean, they're going through a rough patch. The results haven't been there. The coaching change happens. Doesn't seem like this roster that they have has enough talent, enough difference makers. But the one thing that they do very well, and they have done well over the last few years, is that they are a high pressing team, kind of like Inter Miami, but right, maybe even a little more so. And then, like, their previous head coach, it was 2 head coaches ago now. His name is Jesse Martin. He's coaching in Europe, very young, up-and-coming American head coach who's paving the way and making noise over there in Europe. He said during his initial inaugural press conference, and he kind of got some stick for it, was that he's like, this is an energy drink. So we have to high press and be very energetic. Like, and then fans were like, oh my gosh, he's selling the corporate line. But he ended up being a fan favorite because the team played very well with the high press. And Miami is coming off a game that, like I just touched on, in the second half, they did a lot of chasing, a lot of running after the ball, and they were definitely tired. Juan Agudelo, after the game, said in his post-game press conference, he was so tired from defending, he didn't have energy to attack at times in the second half. So that's something that you got to keep an eye on tomorrow, because Red Bulls can press you high up the field. They like to win the ball up the field and create chances off of turnovers in those deep positions. It's just how they play, how they've played for a long time. They probably lost a little bit of that, but knowing that Miami's probably got heavy legs after playing such a heavy schedule these last few weeks, expect Red Bulls to try to come out and press Miami. Red Bulls don't necessarily play the prettiest soccer. They don't necessarily knock the ball around a ton or try to open you up through possession. They just try to fight and battle and win balls high up the field to create chances in a short space. So that's something Miami's going to have to plan for and look out for, because definitely the tired legs can definitely cause errors at the back and issues in build out, and that's what the Red Bulls like to make their money off of.
So sounds very much like Nashville.
Yeah, but the Red Bulls are more. Just, the Red Bulls will come and meet you and smack you in the face a little bit higher up the field. All whereas right. Nashville kind of sits
they'll play,
back
in. They'll play in their box, right? They'll pack the box. Nashville, in other words, yes.
Look for the counter. Red Bulls are more like, hey, we're going to high press you to death. And again, like they've lost some of it with, which is why their last full time head coach just got let go a few weeks ago, and they're still trying to figure out under this interim coach. But it's still, like a lot of the players that have been playing in that system over the last few years are still there, so they still know how to do it. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Red Bulls play that way, given that Miami is running probably on tired legs at this point. A lot of short turnarounds, a lot of games coming quick. So they had a full week last week, but then they've got another 3 games in 7-8 days again. So definitely something that I think the Red Bulls will try to take advantage of tomorrow.
You know, something I talked about in the pregame show was that a lot of times, and it doesn't matter the sport, but teams, when they make a move for a big player, big name, there comes an inspiration type of effort. And I thought because of the Higuain move, maybe you'll get one. And I thought you got a pretty spirited effort from Inter this past week against Atlanta on Sunday. And I think that will continue tomorrow against the Red Bulls. Knowing that Higuain is coming, I think there's a part of, sometimes where players want to say, not that he belongs with us, that we belong with him, you know, that kind of stuff. So do you believe in any of that, that even the effects of Higuain coming could help motivate these guys to play at a little higher level, especially the guys up front that know, hey, we're gonna lose some playing time because Higuain's going to be the guy at the top?
For sure. I mean, there's definitely some element to that. You get a big-name player in the group, even though he's not training with the team just yet, and that kind of, you know, brings a little bit of excitement to the team and something to push forward and, like, you know, talk about and drive, and that helps you carry some momentum into matches. So I definitely think there's an element to that. I think, like you said as well, there's also that element of players knowing that they need to impress now, because there's going to be less minutes for certain spots now with Higuain in there, or for, you know, the striker spot. So, for instance, Juan Agudelo had I think it was his best game of the season. Yeah. I don't think it was just because of, I mean, it was definitely not just because of the goal. His hold up play with his back to goal was very good. His combination play was very good. He had that, obviously he scores the goal, the opening goal, but he sets that up with a great pass on the half turn. Looked like he had eyes in the back of his head the way he picked out Lewis Morgan without facing him. So it was his best performance. But I think for Agudelo, it's more of just, I don't know. I think he feels something extra special with this team and with the city and with the market, because he's the first player to kiss the crest, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. He's the first Inter Miami player to kiss the crest after a goal. And that to me says something about what he feels to the team. You know, you don't kiss the crest unless you feel a special connection towards the team or towards what that team represents for you. And he's touched on it in different points about how he I don't want to say feels at home, but he likes he definitely likes the aura and the vibe here in South Florida. He's a Colombian American, so probably feels very at home, even though he's from New Jersey. He was also the one player that initiated that viral video back in week one, the day before the LAFC game, that you know, the team was coming off the bus after practice and they saw the fans out there with the drums and the banners and chanting, and he kind of started that whole thing because he said he felt, you know, he was just taken and impacted by that moment. So he starts jumping up and down, and then, you know, that obviously the whole team joins in and the fans join in on that. So there's something that I think he's feeling that's towards this team that's maybe unique or special. And I think that's helping bring out the best in him, because even before this game, he was seeing some time at left mid and he was showing pretty well there as well, helping create chances. And he's always, his whole career, it's been like, what is his true position? Is he a tweener, or does he have a set position? He's kind of bounced around different spots, but he's definitely bought in. He's definitely all team first. He talked about that over the weekend, said, I'll do whatever it takes for this team. So if that means, you know, running around the whole second half like he did against Atlanta, or if that means attacking and holding up. You know, some strikers are more about just the goal, not necessarily putting in the dirty running, as some coaches call it, or the defensive work. But Agudelo did it all on Saturday, and then a very strong performance from him. Obviously, he's going to have some difficulty once Higuain is brought into the fold, getting starts at striker, but I think he'll still be a player that they count on, either as a left midfielder or as a rotational spot starter up top or in different spots.
Franco Panizo, by the way, joining us from Miami Total Football. Check out the podcast, Miami Total Football. Inter Miami will host the New York Red Bulls tomorrow. I'll tell you something that I've been watching as the season has developed. Diego Alonso does a really good job of adjusting with teams that he, the second time he plays them, the third time he plays them, you notice that they start to play better as he's facing the same opponents over and over again. So he has adjusted. And even at halftime, too, I think he's done a decent job of adjusting to at times. What do you think about his in-game and from game-to-game adjustments of the same team?
I think as the bigger pieces, talking about Tweedy and now Higuain, have come and he's gotten a more complete roster, I think he's been able to show more of what he likes and what he wants his team and how he wants his team to play.
Ooh, Franco, did we lose you there?
No, I'm here.
There we go. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
Oh, okay. No. So I was just saying, I think as Alonso has gotten more pieces and the bigger pieces that were missing from the squad for much of the year, I think he's been able to show more of what he wants from his team and the style of play that he wants to implement. And you're seeing a better quality style of play. And I think once Higuain gets in the fold, then you're really going to see what Diego Alonso wants out of this group and how well they can play and what their ceiling is for the 2020 season, because they've shown improvement. They've shown gradual improvement. And yes, they played Atlanta three times now, and they beat them twice and tied once. They probably should have even won that first game. But again, Atlanta is a team that's in transition. So I don't know if I put much stock into just learning how to play them and beat them. I think they're just a team that's not very good right now, and Inter Miami is getting better and more talented in that regard. So, but Alonso will have a full squad very soon on the field, and we'll get a clear picture of what he wants. And then, you know, then there's no more excuses, as I think I heard Michelle say on one of your more recent pods that you had her on, where there's no more excuses, right? Like once Higuain's in, the roster is as complete as it's going to be this year, and now you're going to see what they've got. So looking forward to seeing what Higuain brings and how Inter Miami plays once he's on board, because he's obviously going to bring goals, but how does Higuain affect the high pressing that Inter Miami likes to do, whether he's fit or not fit? I don't think at his age, at this point in his career, he's going to be able to do a lot of that dirty running like I mentioned before. So I'm curious to see how Inter Miami approaches that and goes about that, but definitely going to be something to keep an eye on once Higuain's ready to go.
Pizarro, dude, what do we know? Because, man, that guy's been a freaking tank. He has been so awesome for this team. He never stops. We checked out the stat. He's only been subbed in, okay, in one game. That was the first game of the tournament because he got banged a little bit, and then they brought him in that game. Outside of that, he's played the 90 in every game until Sunday night when they had to sub him out. What do we know? Because, dude, he's been awesome.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give you some breaking news right now that just came out before I answer your question. So Gonzalo Higuain has been cleared for team training and has joined the teammates. Not available to play tomorrow. He doesn't have his visa cleared, so he won't play tomorrow against the Red Bulls. But
I was right. He's gonna play against Philadelphia on Sunday, right? That's what's gonna happen, right?
If the visa comes through, I mean, fully expect him to get some minutes, whether it's, you know, as a starter for 45.
I know Fernando Fiore right now is at the visa department trying to get it all done, okay? He's doing whatever he can. And Presidente is working it, okay? Yeah. All right.
He's got the con- making, pulling the strings and making the moves. As for Pizarro, so I asked Diego Alonso after the game about Pizarro. He obviously came out of the last game holding his left hamstring, and you know, Inter Miami and especially Diego Alonso have been very close to the vest this year with regards to injury. That I think it's just Diego Alonso's style. I don't think he likes to share too much info with regards to injuries. Although, to his credit and to be fair, he did touch on Julian Carranza and Robbie Robinson and their statuses over the weekend, which was unique because over the course of the season, the course of the year, Alonso's been very close to the vest. But when I asked him directly after the game, he said Pizarro didn't have an injury. That is just fatigue, and they had to pull him out because he was just tired from doing so much running and chasing after the ball and pressing. So that was the word on Saturday night. I would not be surprised if Pizarro sits out to start this game against the Red Bulls, just because, again, like I've said, games are coming quick and fast, and players have been getting, like, there's been some rotation, but not a whole lot of rotation. So players probably are feeling some heavy legs at this point, and you don't want to risk a further or a more serious injury and really tire. And, you know, if you really tire him out or really push him beyond his limit, so I think you could see Pizarro maybe get a rest tomorrow night. Even as important as he is, you know, you don't want to risk losing him for much more than one game. So, and that's something to keep an eye on as well. Mexico has a couple of friendlies coming up as part of the FIFA international window that comes in October. And there was talk about him potentially being called up. You know, the Mexican Federation had spoken in Miami about calling him up. So he could end up leaving. If he's called, it's mandatory that he goes unless he can arrange something with the federation and with the team to say, hey, I'd rather sit this one out. But if he's called up, it's a FIFA international window. The team would have to release him unless something can be arranged. So that means he would miss a couple of games at least. And then there's the whole question of what would happen if he returns, if does he have to go into quarantine or how. So if he gets called up by Mexico in the next week or two, then he'll definitely miss at least a couple games, if not more, depending on the situation. So also something to keep an eye on if you're an Inter Miami fan, because obviously Pizarro is one of the protagonists, one of the key players on this squad. And, you know, not having him definitely hurt Inter Miami's chances of trying to make a real high push up the standings. Because they're making a push, man. They're close to the playoff spot at last, but it would hurt their chances to get an even higher seed if they can finally break through and get above the red line.
No Andres Reyes, right, tomorrow?
Yeah, no Andres Reyes. Nicolas Vidal is probably going to slot back into center back. That's his natural position. He's played there. He was playing there at the start of the season. He's kind of been playing at right back now just because there's...
He's playing great.
Yeah, Diego Alonso doesn't really have anyone else that he really kind of trusts to start. But I think it, just with the Reyes absence, you're going to slot Figal back in. The only other option that you could see maybe is to keep Figal out there is to bring back Roman Torres into the fray. It's essentially going to be you bring Roman Torres in at center back and leave Figal out on right back, or do you tuck Nicolas Figal back into center back and throw out the rookie Dylan Elis at right back? But Nicolas Figal will speak to the media today in about 5-10 minutes. So he will, you know, we'll ask him and we'll see, you know, if he sheds any light as to which way it's going. And figure out if he'll be playing center back or right back. I think he'll be at center back tomorrow. And he can do probably, like, as you know, he's done a good job at right back, but he's done an even better job when he's played center back this year. So definitely think he'll play there, and he'll do well, because for me, he's been the best player, the most consistent player for Inter Miami this year. I know Pizarro gets a lot of love because he's pulling the strings in the attack, but I think the most consistent player, and Diego Alonso agreed with me when I asked him after the, which game was it? I think it was the Nashville game. Yeah, the Nashville game that they tied 0-0. I asked him about Figal, because Figal actually had a bad game. He got pulled at halftime. He gave up.
The game he almost got a red card in, is what you're talking
about? Yeah. where he hit the guy with the forearm and gave up away a needless penalty kick and was pulled at halftime. So after that game, I asked Diego Alonso about him, and I was like, you know, Nicolas Figal, for me, has been the most consistent player. And Alonso agreed with me and said, yeah, today just wasn't his night. So fully expect him to start tomorrow, no matter where it is, and have a good game, because he's just been that good of a player this year.
I got to admit, I like Reyes' talent, but he's young and he makes a lot of mistakes. I don't trust him. Not yet. am I looking at it wrong? You know more than I do.
Look, he's definitely made some mistakes, and you know, with young players, they the consistency is an issue, and that's something they have to work through and go through. It's very rare or not as common to see a young player just kind of give you steady, good performances. They kind of go up and down. I'm moving my finger up and down like if you were looking at a chart, because that's just nature of being a young player. He's had some issues, but he brings that back line a lot, man, a lot. Not only with his athleticism and his speed, because I think he's the fastest.
He's got talent. I see it. No, he's got talent.
His passing. Like, next time he's on the field on Sunday against Philadelphia, his passing with the ball on the ground is so good and is so key, and is why I'm sure Diego Alonso has kept him in the lineup, even with the hiccups
mistakes
he's had.
Yeah.
Because way he can help build out and keep possession and break through the lines with the passes on the ground that he makes. Not talking short passes. He can hit a good 15-20-yard low pass on the ground with pace at players' feet, and that is so crucial and so important for the way that Diego Alonso wants to play. So he's definitely had some issues. I'm not going to deny that and say he hasn't. But I think he's been more net positive than negative, and they're probably going to want to bring him back next year. He's on a season-long loan.
Yeah, no, I would bring him back. He's talented. It's just he makes too many mistakes still for me at this moment. That's why I can't trust him, because it's almost like in every game there's a moment or two where Reyes will have a brain fart, unfortunately, and that's because he's 20 years old, bro. He's a kid, you know? He's still a child in this game, you know what I'm saying? But now he doesn't. He has a man's body. I will tell you that, dude's fit, man.
My family is like, they have season tickets, and obviously haven't been able to go to the game, but they're fully invested and watch every game. And my stepdad was giving me like some questions and some crap the other day. And he's like, "Why doesn't Roman Torres play?" He's like,
"Oh no, you really can't trust him." Come on.
He's like, get Reyes out of there. Get Reyes out of there. He's been making too many mistakes. And I was like, look, like, Roman Torres is a solid defender, but he doesn't have much athleticism in terms of speed, and he can't build out the way that Andres Reyes builds out. And that's something I wrote for SBISoccer.com back in week 2 when he got the red card against DC United. He made a mistake. He had the ball at his feet. He had the whole field, the whole panorama to figure out where he wanted to pass it to, and he passed it to DC United's player. The ball came back the other way, bounces off his arm, he gets a red card, and that changed the whole complexion of the game.
I know.
And that lack of passing is probably why Roman Torres hasn't seen much of the field. I think he just played his first game he came late into the game as a substitute, played a minute, didn't even touch the ball, but it was his first appearance in 2 months, because he just doesn't have that passing ability that's vital for how Diego Alonso wants Inter Miami to play. And Andres Reyes has that. So even though he's made some mistakes at the back, Alonso has still ridden him and still given him the opportunities, because he brings that, and that's so important for how Inter Miami plays. So yeah,
Torres is not the future either. He's a bench guy is what he is. The future, if you can develop it, is in Reyes, because he's a 20-year-old, bro. He's a kid, you know. Sure. This is a guy. He's got a bowl. I love his talent. It's just, you know, the brain farts every game. It's just like, wow, dude, there's one or two moments where he has an opportunity there, and it's usually around the box where that mistake happens, and that's where you cringe.
Well, there's money to be made there, brother. If they can sign him to a full-term deal after the season and groom him a little bit more,
right,
that he's going to Europe, man. He's got the skill, he's got the talent. It's about the consistency, but that you expect that to come as he matures and as he grows and develops. So they could sell him in a couple of seasons if they can get him full term or long term lock up his contract. So definitely, I think it's no question that they're going to try to bring him back going forward, and definitely try to sell him at some point in the future, because that kid's going to bring a good transfer fee.
Winnable game tomorrow, right? For Inter fans, this is one of those games that they can come out of here with a W, right?
For sure. The Red Bulls, again, they're a team in transition. They can make life difficult on you with their press, but they are also lacking difference makers and a proven goal scorer. They lost Luis Robles and their star striker from the last few years, Bradley Wright Phillips, who went to LAFC, and they haven't really replaced them. They've kind of lost a little bit of their personality and who they are, their identity. That's the word I was looking for. So definitely a winnable game, especially at home for Inter Miami. Just got to watch out for that high press. Watch out for Alejandro Cacu Romero Gamarra. That's their playmaker that can unlock a defense. He can hit a sick pass in behind the defense. So definitely the one player to watch out for. But I expect Miami to win tomorrow. I expect them to take the 3 points and maybe finally move above the red line. And
yeah, baby. Playoffs. Yep. Playoffs.
Yeah.
You know we're going to the playoffs, right? I mean, once we get Higuain in there, bro, those games that we saw where they couldn't finish certain plays – they got the finisher now, man, and he should be able to finish a lot of them in this league.
Yeah, I mean, he's training as of today. He's fully in team training, so definitely will be.
And he looked good, dude. And that picture he took with Moss at the airport, he looked great, bro.
Yeah, and that picture, he definitely looked fit. The picture that he took in training with the jersey looked a size too big for him, but no, he definitely looked fit in that picture he took with Jorge Mas. And if you get a fit Gonzalo Higuain, then poof, you know, I expect this team to make the playoffs, absolutely. Just based on talent alone and the progress they've shown, even without Higuain, they look like a playoff team, given that there's 10 out of 14 teams making the playoffs.
Yeah, but I just wonder when the hell is a clothes company going to go call Diego Alonso to be a sponsor, bro, because that guy's the GQ of the league on the sidelines. That guy should be representing some suit company out there. If there's a suit company that wants a coach to represent them, it's that dude right there, because no matter how hot it is, he's not ever sweating through his suit. He always looks outstanding. I'm jealous, bro. I'm jealous.
Hey, tell David Beckham to pull some strings. Obviously, he's got plenty of connections in the fashion world. So Diego Alonso with his GQ suits and fitted suits can definitely be a spokesman or a sponsor for somebody out there. Yeah, he definitely dresses to the nines any chance he gets. If the conditions permit. Because I think in a couple of occasions when it's rained, he switched it up a bit, but definitely one of the better dressed coaches in MLS for sure.
One of the best dressed coaches in all of pro sports, period. he's our new Riley, bro. You know what I mean? Like locally, he's the best dressed guy, guaranteed. Because Spo wears the silly Miami Heat shirts and stuff like that, and it's like, come on, bro. You know, wear a suit like Riley did. We're an Armani, bro. Come on. Let's go. So we got our new Armani, which is Diego Alonso. All right, follow Franco on Twitter at Franco Panizo. And, of course, follow the podcast Miami Total Football. Listen to it. Great insight. Franco knows his stuff. Franco, as always, you're a stud, my brother. Thank you for taking some time.
Thanks for having me on. I'm jumping on the Inter-Miami call right now. So we'll talk soon, Big O. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow night at the stadium. If we can cross paths, it's always difficult depending on the circumstances, you know, with the rules and regulations and whether we just happen across each other. So if not, enjoy the call tomorrow, and I'll see you soon.
I have carte blanche in that stadium. I'll see you. Don't worry about it. Later, brother.
That's true. I did see you talking to Jorge Master in that one game that got canceled. You were like down on the field somewhere, so I know you have the all pass credential.
we got a little juice. We got a little juice. All right, my brother, you be good.
All right, bud.
Take it easy. There you go, the great Franco Panizo, man. Excellent segment there. If you love your Inter, you loved all of that. If you don't know anything about it, now you're learning. Now you're getting an edumacation on this. I always laugh with the sports fan that, oh, I hate hockey. Oh, I hate soccer. Oh, I can't stand baseball. You know what I mean? And the one thing about this show, man, we're not anti any sport. We love all sports. I've watched all sports my entire life. I've enjoyed watching all sports my entire life, and that's kind of the way I run the show. Obviously, American football is the one that dominates, is always a center stage along with basketball. But, you know, and get ready. There's going to be more intertalk as the years go on now. This team is only going to get better. I mean, Jorge Mas did not build this team to, like, be, you know, a flash in the pan or something. He wants to be the Celtics of the MLS. He wants to be the Yankees of the MLS, you know? That's what he's trying to be. He wants to make Inter Miami an international label, you know? So, and I believe he will.